I've really appreciated the times when Sold Out Quartet opened their concerts with this song that we've just listened to, and I really appreciate Matt Rankin giving us permission to use this song and their songs in our services. And it seemed like just a fitting way to begin our worship on this Pentecost Sunday. So I welcome you in the name of Jesus and trust that you'll be blessed as we come before the Lord, and may the Holy Spirit indeed be at work among us as we sing, as we pray, as we preach, and as we seek to be the church. Let's pray. Gracious God, that is our prayer, that your Spirit would come and move among us. So we look to you in that regard. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just a couple of announcements before we begin our congregational singing. We have opportunity for another fellowship time taking place this afternoon at 3 o'clock. It's another Zoom get-together. The link was sent out to everybody that has an email address in our church directory. If yours is not there, you didn't get an email, please let me know. Give me a call or whatever, and I'll get you that link so that if you want to, you can join in for that fellowship time. I want to thank you, too, for your continued giving. When we reopen the church for services, this basket will be at the back of the sanctuary for you to drop in tithes and offerings. Or you can continue to mail them in, or you can continue to do online giving, whatever works best for you. All right, let's join in song now. Our first song is Forever, and from that going right into Greatest Commandment.
Thanks to the Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever. We're going to sing the greatest commandment, and this time, after we sing it all in unison once, we are going to sing it in three different parts, so you can join in whichever one you want to. We'll sing through the parts with the parts twice.
Trust you were blessed with that song. It's sort of a fun song, and yet it has an incredible message for us to latch on to. This morning, I would like to recognize a couple of individuals, our graduates, and we have Jenna Whitmer, who graduated from South Range High School. Jenna Whitmer from South Range High School, and we have Landon Baer, who is graduating from Huntington University. His actual ceremony will be in August. Now, I'd like to share just a few verses for these two individuals from Proverbs 2, verses 6 to 9. It says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path." We want to offer our congratulations to you, Jenna and Landon, and trust that with the knowledge that you have acquired in your studies and with the knowledge from the Lord, that you can indeed embark on a good path that he has laid out for you. If you were here this morning, we'd have you stand so we could recognize you in that fashion. But for now, let's pause to pray. Father, we thank you for these two individuals. Thank you for Jenna. Thank you for Landon. Thank you, Lord, for this milestone that they have reached in their lives. And we thank you that you have a future and a hope for them. And we pray that they would indeed be able to embark on the path that you have chosen for them. And they would indeed be able to draw richly from your wisdom, knowing you, walking in your ways. So bless them as they are going in different directions now. Protect them, provide for them, and help them. May they experience the outworking of your purposes all the days of their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. And then, oh, for a heart to praise my God. According to our world in data, over 400,000 people die every year from homicides. In Latin America, homicides are the leading cause of death in 15 to 49-year-olds. According to UNICEF, every 7 minutes somewhere in the world, an adolescent is killed by an act of violence. As I continue the preaching series from the Ten Commandments, we're ready for commandment number 6. The Bible says this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. No problem in getting all the words on the screen for this commandment. It's just 4 words. You shall not murder. King James Version would say, thou shalt not kill. Now this morning I don't want to just talk about the problem of violence and killing, but I want us also to be thinking about the answer or the antidote. Specifically, then I'll be talking about 3 things. A new heart, a new way of living, and a new respect for human life. So first of all, let's think about obtaining a new heart. Now, some people need a heart transplant because their heart, their physical heart, isn't working properly. Or they need to have repair work done for a leaky valve or something of that nature. Or perhaps there's blockage that is affecting their well-being. Now, as we look into the scriptures, we find that the root problem of many of the things that are reported on the evening news is actually below the surface. And it's a problem that's related to the human heart. The Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Or as a person thinks in their heart, so are they. That's Proverbs 23, verse 7. Think, for example, of the first murder in human history. What was going on beneath the surface? Not just the fact that there was a murder committed, but what was going on beneath the surface? What was happening in the human heart? So Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a keeper of sheep. And at one point, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought an offering. He brought of the firstlings of the flock. The Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Now, if we were in a Sunday school class, it would be interesting and perhaps a fun exercise, if you will, to look more specifically at why that may have been the case and, look at some of the issues surrounding that. But for now, what happened? What happened? The Bible says this in Genesis chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Genesis 4, verse 6. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you that you should rule over it. But you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Now, what was lurking beneath the surface? What was it that perpetrated this outburst? What triggered the killing? Well, what we are told is that Cain was angry. He was upset with his brother's offering being respected and that his was not. Now, it does seem that some people have a shorter fuse than others. But no matter how you slice it, it's incredible, is it not, that a fellow is so angry that he kills his own brother. And yet, how often does that kind of scenario play out in our day? A person gets angry with their ex, or with their girlfriend or boyfriend, or with their spouse, or with their neighbor, or with somebody that just happens to get in their way, make it road rage or whatever the case is, and goes after them. Now, I wonder if you noticed what the Lord said to Cain regarding the anger that was bubbling up in his heart. He said, if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you. Now, the NLT puts that like this. You will be accepted if you respond in the right way, but if you refuse to respond correctly, then watch out. Sin is waiting to attack and destroy you, and you must subdue it. Sin is waiting to attack and destroy you. Now, if that which is bubbling beneath the surface isn't nipped in the bud, it may well result in something to be regretted. Jesus said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. That's in Matthew 15, verse 19. Out of the heart proceed these things. So we're talking about what is going on under the surface. Sometimes people think that things are okay, while in actuality, a spiritual heart catheterization would reveal quite the opposite. Why do I say that? Because of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. Matthew 5, 21, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." Now, it's not just homicide that is of concern. It's not just domestic violence that is the problem. You see, it's anger, it's name-calling, it's hatred. The Bible says whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Wow. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. That's 1 John 3:15. What then is needful, or what is needful then, is to have a mind and a heart that is renewed by the Spirit of God. On this Pentecost Sunday, we would do well to reflect on and to ponder what the scripture says in Matthew 7, 37 to 39. Matthew 7, verse 37, "On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So, is the Holy Spirit flowing through your heart? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you and I walking in the Spirit? Well, we've talked about a new heart. Let's think now about a new way of living. In his book, The Tender, now this is perhaps a little play on words, but the 10, D-E-R in parentheses, The Tender Commandments, Reflections on the Father's Love, Ron Meal asks a thought-provoking question. He says, or asks, are we approaching, once again, the way it was in the times of Noah? And he was reflecting on the kind of violence in our culture as he noted the following. He said, "By the time a child grows up in America, he or she will have viewed tens of thousands of murders and acts of violence on television and in the movies. And if that wasn't enough, we can now act out violent inclinations with a video game on a computer screen. In the, and what was at that time new, a new game, Carmageddon, for instance, drivers get points for running over pedestrians, including little old ladies with walkers." Now, what is it that is characteristic, was characteristic of Noah's day? What was it that grieved the Lord to the extent that he was sending a flood to destroy all except Noah and his household? Here's what we read in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6, verses 9 to 13. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Now, we do want to notice here that Noah exemplified a different way of life from those around him. Noah consistently was following God's will and his way. And so he is described here as being a just man, perfect in his generation. Some Bible translations would say that he was righteous, a righteous man. It is saying that here in the scriptures in verse 8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in the midst of that kind of culture and that kind of violence and everything. Now, what does a new way of living look like then? What does it look like, or should it look like, in our generation? What does it mean to live with integrity as a follower of Jesus in the 21st century? Well, for one thing, it means that we love rather than hate. Now, here's what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verses 43 to 47. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, I was this past week, I was reminded again, it just came back to me. I happen to be a grad of Mount Vernon Nazarene College, and so in one of the periodicals, there was a grad from MVNC who wrote to the college chaplain while he was on active duty bound for Saudi Arabia. He was struggling with the reality of everything, and he said in his letter, when your unit's job is to kill, it's so hard to relate to Christianity. They are so opposite. And he was asking for prayer and was sharing his appreciation for his time at MVNC and so on and so forth. I read about another fellow who spoke of his duties, and he said, it seems like in order for us to do what we're supposed to do, we have to forget about everything that we had learned in Sunday school. Now, what is it that we've been taught in Sunday school? What is it that we're called to in the New Testament? Well, we're called to a new way of living. We're called to an ethic of love. We're called to that which exemplifies the way of Christ. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Rome, put it like this. I'm turning to Romans 12, 17 to 21. He said, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. Now, excuse me, Noah stood out in his day. People who embrace a new way of living stand out in our day. The ways of Jesus are without a doubt countercultural. It is different from the ways of the world. And here again, you and I can only live with integrity as a Christian, if we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, by that one that was invited into our presence this morning through the singing of Sold Out. He is the one, the Spirit is the one that enables us to live in love. As the hymn writer put it, breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. You and I need so much what Pentecost made possible. Well, we've talked about a new heart and a new way of living. Let's shift gears a bit and think about a new respect for human life. Now, for some people, human life is cheap. So, excuse me. The frog in my throat. Over the years, then we've had people that wanted to get rid of entire groups of people they thought were less desirable, like Hitler and the Jews. There have been those who made killing a sport, if you will, victimizing person after person, people like Charles Manson and others. There have been individuals who wanted their day of fame, seemingly, and so some of the shooting sprees in our own country in recent years. Why did God say in the Ten Commandments, you shall not murder? Was it because it's of no consequence? Was it because life is cheap? No, it's quite the contrary. It was, it is, because human life is precious. You and I are different from the animals in that we've been created in the image of God. And we're not only physical beings, but we are also spiritual beings. People are not just a blob of organs and tissues. People have meaning and purpose in life. And so the prophet Jeremiah put it like this in Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5, when he said, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I circled some of those phrases. I formed you in the womb, and I sanctified you. One of the problems with abortion is that life is terminated that was uniquely created by the Lord. And so the psalmist praised the Lord for his creative work. And he did this in Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Now, we lament not only those whose lives were lost through wars or through homicides or through drunken drivers on the nation's highway or through people that did and are doing bizarre things because they are under the influence of drugs. We lament also the millions that were not given a chance to come out of their mother's womb. Thousands of them, actually millions of them, since Roe versus Wade was enacted in 1973. The sixth of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. What then is our calling as followers of Jesus? Or what ought we to be convinced of as we ponder what we just noted from Jeremiah 1 and from Psalm 139? Well, we should be mindful that human life is precious to God, that men and women are created in his image, set aside for a purpose. We need to affirm the dignity and the value and the sanctity of human life. And thus we need to refrain from that which destroys life and become involved with that which enhances and protects and maintains life. In all of this, we desperately need the presence and the power of the third person of the Trinity. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Then and only then do we become the men and women that God has called us to be. Lord, we thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you have created us as unique human beings and set us aside for a purpose. Lord, we pray that each individual on planet Earth would come to recognize their uniqueness and their calling before you, and that they would turn to you and honor you and be wonderfully transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. Lord, please forgive us where we have not always lived up to our calling. Cleanse us, renew us, continue to be at work. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we respond in song, Whiter Than Snow, and then going right into Change My Heart, O God.
Break down every idol.
Well, during this time of worship from home, there's been an open invitation to submit praises as well as prayer requests, and that will continue. You are invited to submit praise items and prayer requests even after we open back up. But this morning, a praise report is going to be given by someone in person. She happens to be here on the platform, Bonnie Shanker.
I have actually two praises this morning. One is my mother had heart surgery this week, a couple of days ago. She had a laparoscopic ablation, and I don't understand exactly all of that means, except that it was done by catheter and went up in two different places in her heart and basically cauterized a couple of nerves that had been causing her to have AFib for a number of years, and it was getting worse. So I'm thankful and praise the Lord it went well. She was able to be released within on the same day that I think it was a long while after the surgery, but she was released the same day, and she's back home now recovering. So I'm thankful for that, and also, a huge praise for our family is, as many of you know, we've been going through the process for about 8 months now of applying for adoption, and a couple of weeks ago we received word that everything is completely approved, all of our paperwork is done, so that's a huge relief for us, and we're just thankful to be able to proceed. As Pastor Bob was sharing in the sermon this morning, we believe that all life is precious to God, and we're so humbled that he has called us to participate in valuing life in the way that he has. Since the beginning of our marriage, we've considered adoption, and just we had four kids of our own, and so it was never the right time, and then we were overseas, and since we've been back here, we just felt that that was something the Lord wanted us to participate in, so we're grateful for that. And the next step for us is basically the waiting step. They're working on completing our online profile, and then after that, what we'll do is we'll be able to submit for cases. When we get an email, we usually get several emails a week for different birth parents that are submitting themselves to the adoption agency, then we get the choice whether or not to submit our names for that case or not. And just to basically explain how that goes, I hope I'm not taking too long, is then the birth mother gets to look through all the families that submit their names, and she gets to choose which ones she wants to meet with. After meeting with several families, then she can choose which one she would like to place her child with. So the matching process is pretty much out of our hands. That's all up to the Lord and how he works in the heart of a birth mother. So if you would be continuing to pray with us that at the right time, and for the right child or children, we're approved for up to two, that the Lord would match us with the child or children that he has for our family. And we thank you for your prayers this far.
And also, just as a PS on that, you might not have wanted to say this, but I recall from adoption that it is quite pricey. And but I think in your case, it's almost double. Of course, it's years after we had adopted. But so, am I correct? You're talking at about
$26,000. When it's all said and done, yeah.
And so you have an account set up,
It's called GoFundMe. If you would desire to partner with us in that way, but you're not comfortable doing that online, you can also just give us something directly. It doesn't have to be through that, but that's just for ease. It's a GoFundMe account. If you're on Facebook, we have posted that link on there. Or if you would like to know in some other way, you can get in touch with us.
Okay. Thank you so much for that praise report. Well, we continue to have people with physical needs that have had surgeries and are in recovery process, that are have surgeries scheduled and are coming up, or that need approval to get surgery. And so we just want to remember those individuals as well as we pray. Lord, we do rejoice in you and thank you this morning for how you are at work You're at work in our lives and throughout our church and throughout this world of ours. We know that things are different right now, have been, and yet you haven't changed. And so we thank you that your Spirit is at work in ways that perhaps many of us are not even aware of or haven't heard from one another. But we do rejoice with Adam and Bonnie and pray that you would continue to direct in that entire adoption process, that through your leading, it would be the right child for them. Mm-hmm. We also bring before you this matter of the $26,000 that are needed, trusting that you will provide as that is needed. So please continue to work out the practical matters in this regard as well. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be at work in this world of COVID-19. We just pray that you would cause this plague to be no more in whatever way that you choose to work, and you would protect us and keep us as we continue to wait upon you and to look to you. And we pray, Lord, for those that are recovering from surgeries, that you would continue to strengthen and to heal and to help. For those that are looking forward to surgery in the near future, that you would be with them in all of that. And for those that need approval from workman's comp and so on for a surgery, we pray that you would impress upon those that have some authority in this matter to make that approval. And then we just pray for your continued work and your wisdom and your guidance in our church setting as we make decisions and make plans, how we need your Spirit's mm-hmm. guidance and equipping in all things. And we pray that you would be glorified in these matters. And we also pray that you would guide in our elder selection process, and you would guide in our search for a bishop for the East Ohio district, and trust that, again, you will accomplish that which you desire and purpose. So we look to you with thanksgiving in praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we close with the song More About Jesus. More About Jesus.
Thank you.
now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.